plan on flying? In order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID. Learn how to get your real ID today at tsa.gov/real ID or visit your local DMV.
Steel Magnolias, two sisters who love family, traditions, and all things Southern. We've got plenty of room at our table, so pull up a chair.
Hey, Lainey.
Hi, Laura Beth.
Well, we are always learning new things, aren't we?
That's the truth. I mean, every day.
I mean, pretty much anyone you talk to that is later in their life, if they're making it real late in life, one of the wonderful things I love hearing people say is, I'm still learning.
I agree. The smartest ones usually are still learning.
Well, I learned something this weekend that I will share, but maybe I'm the only one that didn't know this.
Okay. I'm scared.
So it's hot, obviously, and I'm using my ceiling fan more than I normally do.
Does this have to do with which direction?
Did you already know this? Am I the only one that didn't know the seasons dictate the direction that your ceiling fan should be set?
No, I'm sure I don't always change it either.
So counterclockwise is how your ceiling fan should be set for summer.
Okay.
It sends the like jet stream or whatever that is, the wind, in the right direction.
To pull hot air up.
I guess.
And then in the winter, you want the air going, I don't know.
But yeah. I do remember, because I've now got my fans counterclockwise.
Okay.
And it's summer in the South, so they're doing their job.
So let's just talk about that. Heat of the summer. My air went out on Friday.
That is painful.
And
been there, done that.
Yes. You realize how far we've come in the South with air conditioning.
Yes.
Because I had 2 days of just fans in my bedroom, because I stayed. I didn't go... You offered that I could come to your house. Leslie offered I could come to her house.
You're basically like
Mom,
some of the people we're going to be talking about in today's episode.
I wanted to be at my house.
That's right.
So, anyway, I toughed it out, but I was so grateful when it was back
on. Once it kicked on. Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, you just realize, like, the South is brutal.
Well, and we've mentioned it here before. That's why things like sweet tea and sleeping porches and, I mean, there are
porches with ceiling fans. Like, yeah. This is legit
reasons
why people do these things.
Why we have what we have.
I've never had so many iced beverages. I usually don't even want ice in my water. No, I wanted ice in everything and on me. I was supposed to be icing my, you know, from my surgery anyway. It was like, oh, yes, Lord, I want ice. Anyhow.
Well, I'm glad you're back online.
I'm grateful for electricity that blows said air conditioning.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the things we're going to talk about.
It is. Well, let's talk about it. So we are talking about the Tennessee Valley Authority, otherwise known as the TVA, today.
That's right. I mean, talk about something that changed the South.
And I will also, since I've already admitted I didn't know ceiling fan directions and the cause and effect of those, I will let you know I got schooled when researching
majorly schooled
this today. Okay, well, I'm glad to hear you say that at least. And I still think we're just dipping our toe in the water, per se.
Exactly.
For this, because this is a huge topic. But I don't hear people talk about this in my circle. And I don't think it's talked about very much anymore.
I don't think it is anymore, because it's a given, right? That we have clean water and that we have electricity. I mean, I'm saying it's a given because in most places in America, that is a given.
It is, yeah.
But it wasn't always a given. In fact, after the Great Depression, the whole country was suffering, but the South was really suffering.
Yes. I mean, no jobs.
We were having major flooding going on in certain areas, and, you know, there was no control of the...
So that was eroding farmland.
Yeah.
Like...
People dying.
Millions of acres of farmland. I'm not just talking about... There was some family farms that got washed away.
That lost their tomato crop.
Right. No.
We're talking
millions of acres. 7 million is actually what I saw was the soil erosion that had ruined 7 million acres of farmland.
Wow.
So these were the problems that the government started scratching their head.
Yeah.
Going, what are we going to do? Right.
Well, it's interesting because I was even, you know, we watched that Ken Burns Country Music.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Documentary. Fabulous. Anyway, some of the pictures they would show from, you know, the early 1900s and things like that. One of the comments I made to Mom was, there's no grass. It's so muddy. Like, they would just show, like, scenes where I was like, it's all dirt and mud.
Yeah.
And that's something that's wild to think about, too, with when there's no control of the water and the wash of water. There is, how's grass going to grow?
That's so true because, you know, we have had even issues with your yard here, and I've had issues alongside my driveway.
In areas where it's just...
with just even a small stream of water that doesn't have the blockage to direct it in the right way, and I can't grow stuff, and I can't... There's puddles that form.
So think about if that's just the whole neighborhood.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, we had some problems in the 30s, 1930s.
Yeah.
In Tennessee especially, but even our neighboring states.
Yeah. And so, yeah, because Tennessee is blessed with many, you know, we have lakes and things like that, but that presents problems. The Tennessee River was massively flooding. So under Franklin Delano Roosevelt's New Deal, part of that was the establishment of this, what we're going to just keep saying, TVA, Tennessee Valley Authority. So
it was like an act that he put into place. And he put into place this act to improve the navigability and to provide for the flood control of the Tennessee River, to provide for reforestation and the proper use of marginal lands in the Tennessee Valley, to provide for the agriculture, cultural, and industrial development of said valley, and for other purposes.
Yeah, I mean, we can go into some of the different things that came out of that, but that's humongous. There was a senator from Nebraska, the name George W. Norris, and he was the strong sponsor of this project. And if you are familiar with Tennessee, you may have heard of Norris Dam. That's named after him.
Right outside of Knoxville.
Right outside Knoxville. And that was the one of the major first dams that was done to help with all of this flooding. Now, the states that this...
Hold on, before you do that, just so you know, that dam cost $36 million to build.
In 1933.
I want to give some scope. Yeah.
How much is $33 million today?
Like, we're not talking about this little concrete structure that they threw up in the hills of East Tennessee to move some waters.
I can't imagine how much that even equals today.
And the other thing that's so interesting about this, too, that we don't even think about today, because like you said earlier, it's just a given. My favorite lake in Knoxville is Norris Lake.
Okay.
I love it. It's beautiful. We would go wakeboarding in college on Norris Lake. It was always just the prettiest. You could always even, I could find my way around better because it just seemed like there was more differentiating shorelines, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I didn't even think that there was a dam that created this lake. This lake did not exist before Norris Dam.
And now it was
It was just a given that it's a lake. A lake is a lake. Yeah, so that's interesting to think about, too, for recreational use, even.
Yeah.
Some of the benefits that came out of this, beyond just trying to help flooding.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, beautiful walking trails when they were doing all the concreting of these areas and things like that. Like, this changed the whole dynamic of the South in so many ways. I don't even know if we can cover it all.
But people were not just down with this immediately, right? We need to, like, talk. I mean, of course, with anything political, there's pushback. There's, you know, people thinking there's different ways to accomplish it.
Well,
or that it doesn't need to be touched at all.
That's right. And this is, like, you actually used the words, this was a no-win situation.
I think so.
From the perspective of there's going to be difficult things that have to happen, but it included literally having to move towns.
Yeah.
Because if these towns were positioned such that they were flooding really bad, or just based on where they were positioned, that this was the way the water had to be navigated.
Right.
We're going to have to move said town.
Yes.
To a higher location or a different location. And that means moving families.
Yeah.
In fact, I saw different numbers. I don't know if you saw different numbers, but 14 to 15,000 families.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Had to be moved.
Whoa.
Around this whole project. So not just, you know, different towns had different amounts. Maybe one town was 3,000 families or different things like that. But it equaled about 14 to 15,000 families. So that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people that you have to go knock on their door and go, hey, we've got this project.
Some bad news.
about your house.
Yeah. Now they did, this was, you know, the federal government was giving them money for their home.
Sure.
And moving them to something similar, equal, they would say. But when it's been your land for generations,
absolutely,
how do you put a price tag on it?
Even if it hasn't been your land, your home is where your heart
is.
Is
your home.
So think about sitting in your car or listening to this podcast wherever you are today. If you live in an apartment or a condo or a home, or you know, you're sharing a space with somebody, even temporarily, even the sort of invasion that you feel when somebody goes, you have to leave.
Yeah.
We'll get you somewhere else, but you have to leave. That's stunting.
Somewhere else is not here.
Yeah.
So that's hard.
We watched a funny movie.
Yeah, I don't think it was. It was an interesting movie, right?
A drama.
It's from 1960. It's called Wild River.
I doubt anyone listening has heard of it, but you should.
You never know.
You should look into it. It was interesting enough, if you're enjoying this topic, to look into. It's actually more of a love drama story.
I didn't expect that. I thought it was going to be more about just telling this story.
Yeah.
But it's a movie, so they have to have a love story.
Yeah, it's a fictional story with this whole TVA project as the backdrop.
And even was loosely based on a woman named Maddie Randolph.
Yes.
So Maddie Randolph was a person who really did not appreciate the TVA wanting to move her because you couldn't put a price tag on her farm.
Right.
That her husband had worked so hard on working that land, and tending that land. So she basically was forced.
Yeah. I mean, she put her foot down for as long as she could and watched every, you know, neighbor, family member, animal, I mean, everybody
leave this,
walk away. Because the movie, we said, came out in 1960, but it's set in the 30s. So
it's supposed to be when this was happening. Yeah. I don't remember if they actually say a name of a town. They're showing maps and things, and they even have some real footage.
That was crazy.
Of flooding that had happened.
Yeah. Yeah, they shot it somewhere near Chattanooga.
Okay.
I did look that up.
Okay.
But
yeah, it's worth seeing if you are interested in this topic at all. But yeah, another movie, while we're talking about movies, famous from, I can't remember when that movie came out, early 2000s, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Okay, which, now I bet our listeners have seen that one.
If you haven't, you definitely need to see it. It is hysterical. And the soundtrack is fabulous.
It sure is.
Remember that?
I'm thinking there's a lot of Alison Krauss on there,
too. Yeah, it's so good. But anyway, the very end of that movie, it's got turns and twists and funny things that happen to these main guys.
They're all like robbers,
right? They're all, they've escaped prison.
That's right. Okay.
And I can't remember their crimes, but they've escaped prison and they keep having all these crazy things happen where they get away.
Yes.
Even though they get caught, then they get away.
Yes.
But at the very end of the movie, they are literally cornered. They finally, you know,
they've been
guards
caught.
Have finally got them and got them cornered. And they have literally already got the nooses hung and the graves dug where they're going to put them. And there is a scene where they are praying to God.
Last words.
For him to have mercy. And this flood water busts through and just washes over the whole area.
Sends them flying.
So they go flying. And once they come up, there's three guys.
Yeah.
two of them, they're saying, God's had mercy on
us. It's a miracle.
You know? It's a miracle. And George Clooney says, no, I told you they were going to flood this area. We're all about to get electricity. The South is changing. They're putting us all on a grid.
Oh, my gosh. And it's from
when the TVA was building these dams and flooding these cities out. So,
wow.
Anyhow.
Well, so he is right. I mean, part of the move of homes was for flooding, but they were putting this all together to create hydroelectricity.
That's right.
Which I would need a science class to understand that. I mean, girl, if we went over that in school, I must have been asleep that day, because I still don't understand how rushing water or falling water can create energy.
Energy. But it does.
I'm not a scientist, so I'm not going to pretend to know that. But the company, I do want to make mention, I mean, TVA still exists today.
Right.
I'm going to jump
forward
just for a second.
That's a federally owned.
And they provide electricity.
Electricity company, yeah.
For, I believe it's 10 million people in parts of the 7 southeastern states that the TVA region includes. So, we mentioned Tennessee, but we're talking a lot of Mississippi. Uh-huh. All of Tennessee, a lot of Mississippi, good amount of Kentucky, and then like portions of North Carolina, Virginia, Alabama, and Georgia.
Yeah, just a little
of
that. But yeah, that's amazing. And they also employ about 10,000 people now.
Oh my gosh.
Now, they employed a lot of people even in clearing land, building these dams.
So that created jobs.
So that was creating jobs. But as of right now, they're headquartered in Knoxville.
Mm-hmm.
And they employ about 10,000 total. And that's also in their offices of Nashville, Chattanooga, and Muscle Shoals, Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
That's where they have offices.
Well, they've always received criticism. I mean, people think they used excessive force. They think that they, you know, like we just said, like they came towards uncompromising or unwilling customers and just pushed them out. And it's really a difficult scenario because, like we said,
what are you going to do?
It wasn't solving itself.
Right.
And so something had to be done. And I just think there's no doubt that the TVA has transformed and made life now easier for our residents.
Absolutely. Well, I don't want to get away from when you were talking about electricity and how it's made from power, you know, the power that comes from that falling water and all. One thing I want to mention is, I didn't do extensive research on this, but there is a lot of people who believe the placement of where they were doing all of this for the TVA.
Where they put the dams and
was so that they could finish making an atomic bomb.
Ooh.
As well. Now, we know Oak Ridge is where that was done in Tennessee.
Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
Which is super close to where we're talking about. Mm-hmm. A lot of this activity going on with Norris Dam. And there was a big dam called Fontana Dam.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is the one where I believe they got the needed energy to finish making the atomic bomb. So,
wow. I've been on Fontana Lake too.
Okay. So that's kind of interesting to think about with all of this too, the federal government getting involved in all of this. Because talk about controversial. That's super controversial. All war things are.
Oh, for sure.
But.
And this would have been.
We were in a mess in the 40s.
I was going to say.
With the World War II.
And it was in the 60s where a lot of that nuclear plant building began.
Okay.
In the 60s in general were just chaos.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, throw TVA in the mix.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, but yeah, you're right. There's not, I mean, there's just so much that came good that came out of better control of this water. And even the TVA even developed fertilizers. They taught farmers ways to improve crop yields. They helped replant forest, controlled forest fires. And they improved habitat for fish and wildlife.
I mean, that's amazing.
All of that touches our life, whether we realize it or not.
For sure.
So.
Can we talk about, real quick, the, you mentioned towns that had to get moved?
Yeah. Let's talk about some.
So there were a couple that, I mean, no longer exist.
That's right. They are completely underwater.
So one of those is the Pickwick Dam, right? And I read that when it was announced in February of 1934 that the local paper proclaimed President Roosevelt gladdened the heart of every man. Isn't that interesting? That was what the local paper was saying. And then I went on to see that it, this source was saying, it is true that most local residents, eager for good-paying jobs, celebrated the coming construction of both dam and reservoir. However, their enthusiasm was somewhat tempered by another less appealing consequence of the construction effort, the loss of relocation of hundreds of homes, farms, and families. So there were two cities, Waterloo, Tennessee, and Riverton, Tennessee. Both of those cities are gone
completely. Now they didn't they did they move them? Did they move the town, or did they just say, "Hey, you find it"?
No,
another.
If I mean,
okay.
Yes, they probably did, Lainey, but they are not called that anymore.
Okay. Wow.
If you Google Waterloo, Tennessee, the image that comes up is a river.
Wow. That is so crazy.
Because you know how on Google, like, it'll show you images associated with your search.
And it's literally a
look
river.
For a rushing river. That's what Waterloo, Tennessee looks
now,
like.
Now, I think they may have had to have even offered, you know, that means that the dead that are buried would need to be moved as well.
That's crazy.
Or be underwater. So I think they did offer, if people wanted to move a deceased, they could. But yeah, isn't that wild to think?
Yeah.
Of just how much, what all is going to be going
and this,
under.
This is pretty close to us. Like Waterloo, that would have been a little north of Cookeville, Tennessee.
Okay.
That's not far from us here in Nashville. And then Riverton was north of Crossville, Tennessee, almost to the Kentucky-Tennessee border.
Okay.
So.
Well, then there was a town called Butler, Tennessee.
Okay.
In the northeast. That also was one that had to be moved. They did move that town. Like,
okay.
There is still a Butler,
okay.
Tennessee. But Butler, as it was completely flooded.
Wow.
So that town actually has a museum, the Butler Museum.
How fun.
There was enough people that had photographs and memorabilia from their town.
Cool.
That they made a museum of, I've not been to it, so I don't know how extensive this museum is. But they wanted to honor the town that was.
Well,
so they have a little museum that you can visit in their new town of their old town.
Wow. So weird. I mean, because where you grow up is so important.
That's right.
And so I can't imagine going, well, I grew up in this town, but it doesn't exist anymore.
Well, so there's a photograph in one of these, you know, the Tennessee Magazine that I get from the,
oh, yeah,
electric,
from the electric
membership.
Company.
Yeah, it's actually really pretty good
magazine.
Yeah, I
usually flip through it.
But as I was doing my research for this, I found an article that they had done in a 2016 episode, issue rather, about this museum.
Oh, okay.
And there's a man, that was interviewed in the article who's, I mean, living, you know, when you think about this was what, 35.
Well,
so he was
true.
A boy.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's one of the main ones that
wow.
helped to get this museum going
wow.
to his parents' town and everything. And so this is stuff that people that are living now remember.
That's crazy. That is so crazy.
So anyway, but not for long. I mean, that generation will be gone.
Yeah.
And this will really be only, you know, we were talking about, we haven't thought a lot about the TVA,
mm-mm.
but that's because it's always been.
It's always been to us.
So for these people that knew life before the TVA, I bet they've never forgotten.
Uh-uh. No.
What I mean, all was done.
Yeah. Any of the images that you can look up in Google. I mean, this was crazy to watch water rushing through places. Just, I mean, it's like watching a natural flood sometimes where you're just looking at, you know, a rooftop and that's
yeah.
all you can see.
Yeah.
Or yeah, I remember in that, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Like a cow standing on top of
a house.
Of a house.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Yeah, to think about everything that got affected.
Yeah. But I did see, I think there was like a total of 16 hydroelectric dams
okay.
that came out of this. Close to $2.1 billion.
Wow.
not an easy light project.
Well, some of the biggest ones were Fort Loudoun, Watts Bar Dam, Chickamauga Dam, Nickajack Dam, Gunnersville Dam. I mean, I've been to most of these.
I've been to a lot of these. I like Watts Bar Lake, too.
Wheeler Dam, Wilson Dam, Pickwick Landing Dam, Kentucky Dam. I mean, that's some of the biggest ones. But, yeah, there's even more than that.
Wow.
So, if you drive through the South, you'll see many of these areas where you can pull off and enjoy lovely scenery, but it wasn't always like that.
Yeah, and so I would say especially that middle to East Tennessee region, you know, Knoxville, Chattanooga, and the surrounding areas, especially those areas are where we're talking about. But yeah, very, very interesting to think about. So
life as we know it, since we've always had this electricity, but gosh,
thank goodness for people that care to understand how all this can
how
work.
To even, I know, I think about like just my tiny little yard and stuff and how I can't control the water issues.
Right.
And there are people that know how to engineer. They even would measure on the trees and stuff, like where, how high it was going to be. And how do they know? I just think that's so wild that they would know how to maneuver a body of water.
Wow.
Thank you for smart engineers. Yes. I am not one of them.
Yeah. Thank you for people that take time to learn those things. We will take time to tell about those things.
That's right. So. And set the table to celebrate that we have said electricity.
There you go. There you go. Well, that was a fun topic to cover. Yeah. And an important one.
I think so. I mean, it might not be the most romantic one or the most flashy one, but it's certainly an important part of our culture.
Yeah. No potato salad recipes in today's episode, but it can all be potlucks.
That's
and
right.
Cocktail
you couldn't
hour.
Cook said dishes if you didn't have electricity.
Right. You couldn't grow your potatoes for
I
your
guess
potato
you could.
Salad.
You'd be making it fireside.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank goodness for modern conveniences.
I know.
All right. Well,
go enjoy a lovely body of water near you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wish we. Nice. That is one thing I've said before. I wish I had access to a boat, even if it was just a really good friend with a boat, because I do love to go out on the water.
Me too. That was always the
level.
My
favorite things.
Of friend group in the friend group, whoever had the boat, I was like, your family must really have more means than the rest of us, because you have a boat. You have a recreational item that is just for fun.
So dreamy. We've had a boat in a time in our life, but it's a lot of work when you're the one that has it. It's even more fun if it's your friend that
That's
has
right.
it.
You just show up Saturday morning.
Hey, with I your... made Jell-O salad.
I've got my suntan lotion. Oh my goodness. Well, we hope y'all have a good week. We've enjoyed spending some time with you, and I will end by saying peace be with you.
Oh, and also with y'all.
Bye.